guys around your question. Everything, let's start with the idea that the pilot's license is a privilege. And it has requirements. You have to have a certain amount of training, you have to have a certain amount of standards, the airplane has standards. The other thing we are is very much so a risk-based business. Every time any one of us flies, you're doing a risk analysis. Is the weather good enough? Is my airplane inspected well enough? Is everything current? You do all the risk analysis. And what I would have to say before I could answer that question is if I looked at the data, what number of people that we currently, by requiring them to have a medical certificate, what number of them coming into the industry, does that change the risk analysis? At what level could we say, when you say they don't have to have a medical, at what level? What level of vision would they have? What level of reaction time, hearing? A lot of things that you've got to demonstrate that you have. And remember, we're talking about carrying other people. So we're not just putting a pilot at risk. We're talking about carrying other people with this pilot. So it's an interesting question. I don't argue with you or disagree that you might inspire some more people. What would concern me is the people that we would so inspire, are they going to produce a bigger risk to the system? And Doc, would you like to comment on that? I mean, I welcome your thoughts as well. It's an interesting question.
We have gotten that question before, and I agree with what Randy said. Some people say, well, we don't have medical accidents, so it must be that we don't have to be for medical examinations. But my belief is that there are certain people who don't even try to enter the system because they know that their medical capability doesn't make sense. They wouldn't meet our medical standards, so they don't even apply. If you look at the number of people that we deny, and you look at the final denial statistics, we actually deny less than 0.1% of the people who apply for medical certificates. People with seizures, and people with all kinds of things that shouldn't be flying. We are part of the process, as he said, about the safety process. So I think there's a need for a medical standard. I think that we do everything we can. If you look at what we did 30 years ago, people with heart attacks didn't fly. People with cancer didn't fly, people with all kinds of things that we now special issue for, because we feel even though they don't meet the standard, they're safe to be put in the airspace. I work for Peggy and I work for Randy, and we're in all the safety business. And we first say, every time I talk to people, I say, the first thing I worry about is the safety in the airspace and the safety of the people in it. After that, if you give that as a basic assumption, I do everything I can as a federal air surgeon from a medical perspective to get people in the air. We bend over backwards and we try. When we find a case that's unusual, we work with it and we work with the person. So I think there's a need for a standard. I think it's part of the risk-based safety system. And I support continuing to do it, but I also continue to support everybody I can get to say we need in the air.
Wind on the questions now. We have just a few minutes left. I know many of the members like to come up and quickly ask questions of the senior team and to meet you. We've kind of been sandwiched in here today in an interesting format. We opened the day with Dick Van Brunsman, who has put more homeless there than anybody else. We have Burger Tan, who's put more people in space than anybody else. And following us are two pilots that made a water landing unannounced. Some of them work on Jeff Skiles, so. We want to sure give them the opportunity to share their story in just a few minutes. So with that, Randy, we want to thank you for bringing just not only yourself but your team here. The conversation is outstanding. We look forward to working with you. We wish you nothing but the best.